Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3, and we continue to ask the various investment houses, banks, and brokerages for their outlook in the second half. And of course, a lot of new themes to take into account, especially with the Federal Reserve's most recent hawkish turn, inflationary pressures perhaps becoming more of a worry than these pesky COVID-19 infections as we still continue to try and battle out of this gripping pandemic. And because of all of this, Deutsche Bank, while remaining optimistic, is still approaching markets with a hint of caution, at least according to Deutsche Bank International Private Bank's most recent outlook, at least for the for global markets. Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Tuan Huynh, who is the Chief Investment Officer for Europe and Asia at Deutsche Bank's private bank arm. And he's here to share with us some of the key takeaways from Deutsche Bank's outlook for the last 6 months of this year. Mr. Tuan, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still in good health and safe during these uncertain times. And welcome back to the show, sir. It has been a while, and I hope you're having a good Tuesday.
Thank you, and pleasure to be on your show.
All right. So let me ask you to first lay out broadly what the second half outlook for markets is, according to Deutsche Bank. As you told me before we started this interview also, that Deutsche Bank is remaining cautiously optimistic. Can you help us understand what are some of the key takeaways as to why you're being optimistic, but rather careful for the next 6 months?
Yeah, so I think the main reason for us to be cautiously optimistic is coming from a different reason. One, we have seen quite strong equity markets in the first half of 2021, and we think this is very unlikely to be repeated in the second half. Why it is so? If we, for example, look at the economic recovery, this is already in place, and equity markets have more or less priced this in. And you mentioned also, of course, one of the hot topic over the next few months is, of course, everything surrounding inflation. We have seen quite strong inflation numbers, mostly coming from the US. But from our perspective, these are more or less due to the base effect from last year. If you remember last year, 12 months ago, most of us were basically shut down and locked down at home. Most shops, restaurants, everything were closed. We were not able to travel, and hence, of course, prices have been relatively low. Economic activities were more or less standing still. And now with the recovery setting in, you have this kind of base effect, and hence it is not a surprise that we are seeing short-term higher inflation, but we think it will peter out in the second half, so not a big worry from our perspective.
But I do have to bring up, though, Mr. Tuan, that one of Deutsche Bank's economists actually recently said that they does think that there could be an inflation time bomb if the Federal Reserve and central banks across the world act too slowly, which then could lead to a more biting recession down the road. But it also highlights just how tricky it is for even FOMC officials to agree on how to start withdrawing some of this monetary support, or perhaps to react to this to these inflationary pressures. I do want to ask again, how serious a threat is inflation? Is this going to be a short-term or a long-term threat? And which sectors, more importantly, if we bring it back to the markets, can these settings help or hurt as well?
Yeah, so maybe I have to put this report you refer in perspective. So what my colleagues from the investment banking side were talking about, this time bomb on inflation is one of their risk scenario. We are also looking at it, and obviously inflation, as I pointed out, is becoming a risk. But of course, our base scenario, as I just described, is short-term higher inflation. But over the next few months and also going into 2022, we will see a lower inflation, but higher than what we have seen maybe over the past 10 years of a pre-pandemic kind of inflation. And by the way, this is also the base scenario of my colleagues from the investment banking side, which is more or less in line with the Fed. So inflation clearly is a risk, and why we think this is not a permanent higher inflation. Some are even talking about hyperinflation, which we think is clearly not on the card. I just give you a quick example. So if I look at, for example, the US inflation as of the moment, one of the key driver for inflation is, for example, the high the increase in used car sales. So this has surged, for example, 20% year over year. And the main reason for this is we are having a semiconductor shortage across the globe. And as you know, nowadays in cars, there are many chips inside. Mm-hmm. And because of this shortage, a lot of car production is coming to an end, or they have to stop the production for a while. And hence, people are now, if they don't want to wait for a new car, they go for a used car. And hence, this has driven the prices for used car. And it made about 0.6%. In the inflation increase we have witnessed over the past 2 months. And now the question is, will this increase happen again when we look 12 months down the road? So meaning 22 compared to 21. And the answer is rather no, because by then the semiconductor shortage will be lifted. And mm-hmm. other factors were also, of course, people are now starting to travel. The supply of airlines are not as high as last year. So because airlines have shrunk down their offer of flight routes, and hence this has also driven ticket prices for airlines. Will this be normalized over the next 12 months? We think so. And hence inflation should, just from that perspective, coming back to a more normal level.
All right, we're still meeting Mr. Tuan Huynh, the CIO for Europe and Asia, Deutsche Bank's international private bank, here on Money FM 89.3. He's outlining his group's outlook for the second half in markets. But of course, when we talk about the recent events after the Fed's hawkish turn, as some call it, Mr. Tuan, we also saw the U.S. dollar start to strengthen. Mm-hmm. And whenever we see the U.S. dollar start to pick up steam or start to flex, of course, the question is, how might emerging markets start to react to these, especially those here in Asia? Can you share with us what Deutsche Bank's outlook is for emerging markets in Asia in the second half, and whether or not the stronger U.S. dollar will play a big factor in shaping their trajectory in from July to December?
Yeah, so you are right. If normally, if US dollar is rather strong, this is usually negative for emerging markets assets, because a lot are denominated in US dollar. But over the next 12 months, we would rather expect the dollar to be range bound. So trading around that level, we have seen initial strength of the US dollar after the Fed speech last week. But we don't think that this strength will continue over the next 12 months. There are different reasons for this. Of course, if you are believing that US dollar could get stronger, is because the Fed might hike interest rate much earlier than any other central banks. At the same time, or on the opposite side, we are also seeing now, for example, Europe and emerging markets, Asia, catching up quite rapidly. So hence the growth differential between the US and the other regions in the world are also shrinking. And hence this would rather speak for a weaker US dollar. So overall, we would expect the dollar to be more range bound. And this in turn would rather also be positive for emerging markets, in particular in Asia. So what we like here in the fixed income space, we are still recommending our clients to look at Asian bonds, in particular Chinese bonds, because from a risk return perspective, we think it's still very attractive. In the equity space, when I mentioned at the beginning about quite good performance of major equity markets, this is unfortunately not really true for the Asian side. Asia has rather been underperforming the rest of the markets, in particular the Chinese equity markets. But we think this can turn around in the second half, given the good fundamentals, but also the rather more attractive valuation compared to markets like US or even Europe.
This cautious, optimistic outlook for markets in Asia, Mr. Tuan. Does this also include Singapore? As we've seen, Singapore had a very strong start to the year, but the second quarter saw a few hiccups from the reimposition of some social restrictions, the rise in COVID-19 infections, a few questions about this reflation trade starting to unwind that was raised earlier this week. Do you think that the STI's strong start to the year might be challenged in the latter 6 months, or is this still a case for equity upside in Singapore? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Singapore has performed in line with the global equity market, so hence has really shown a nice performance so far. And as I mentioned about the other markets at the beginning, I think this is very unlikely to be repeated. But compare to the fixed income side, we would still think equity markets is the most attractive asset class. Of course, if investors are able to weather this kind of volatility and risk, which always comes along when investing into equities. Of course, Singapore, as we all know, is an open economy, will benefit the most from the recovery in trade, which is already be in place, as I mentioned, and hence markets have priced this in. So I would not expect the same performance of the SDI in the second half, but still a kind of positive development, just not as strong as we have seen in the first half.
All right. And very quickly, Mr. Tuan, before we let you go, I do want to ask, from Deutsche Bank's point of view, is there a key Asian equity market and key Asian forex that we are, that might be worth monitoring in the second half, either in terms of upside or downside? What's the key Asian equity market and currency to monitor based on what you're seeing?
Yeah, so that would clearly be the Chinese equity markets. We think Chinese equity markets will have the best return potential over the next 6 to 12 months, given A, that they have been underperforming so far. If I look at, for example, the CSI 300, which is typically a good reference for the Chinese equity markets, they are slightly down this year compared to most other markets being up in double-digit territory. So we think this kind of performance gap could be recovered in the second half of this year. And then, of course, we are also looking at the CNY as the forex here. We think, given the strength of the Chinese economy, it is also worthwhile to look at the currency. And now, as China has opened up also their bond markets to foreign investors, the local currency market and the local bond markets become more and more interesting. So, from an equity, but also forex perspective, we are definitely looking and focusing on China.
All right. Tuan Huynh, Chief Investment Officer for Europe and Asia at Deutsche Bank's International Private Bank. We thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 to share your firm's outlook for the second half of the year in terms of global markets and their trajectory. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. And we look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, do stay safe, sir, and have a great rest of the week.
Thank you very much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.